What is taught in human design, and which I completely resonate with, is decision-making comes best from within the body.
Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their lives using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galordual, yoga teacher and wellness consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people who share their unique blueprints with the world. My guest today is Billy White. He's a certified human design analyst who has done hundreds of readings for people, couples, parents, children, as well as business relationship consultations. Billy is a father to two grown-up boys. He holds a degree in physics and had a successful career as a sales director in the technology industry. He's a meditator, a yogi, and a tantra practitioner. Welcome, Billy. So good to have you today in Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers. How are you?
Thank you, Oyana. It's really good to be here. I'm doing great.
Good to hear. Would you like to share with us events which made you change the direction of your life?
Well, there are many events that changed the direction of my life. Would you like them from youngest to oldest? How many would you like?
Maybe a couple.
Okay. One of the biggest events was when I was finishing university and I was getting ready to go to graduate school. And my intuition just said, you know, you've had enough school. Take a break. So I took a break and never went back to graduate school, but found myself finding my spiritual teacher. This was 51 years ago, and I was living in London at the time, and this set a spiritual foundation for my life when I was in my early 20s that has been the foundation on which I stand in my whole life. So this decision was pivotal to not go to graduate school.
Who was that teacher?
His name is Prem Rawat. He is originally from India. When I met him, I was 22 years old. He was 13 years old. And in fact, just 2 days ago, he spoke in Barcelona. I flew to Barcelona for the day from here in Ibiza to have a pre-birthday party. Not really a party, it was him speaking, because on the 10th of December, he will become 65 years old. This is the longest relationship of my life. Since my parents are no longer around, and he's very inspiring. Yes, Prem Rawat is his name.
What was he speaking about in Barcelona?
He spoke about what he has talked about since I have known him, which is finding peace inside oneself. He offers techniques, which he calls knowledge, and these are techniques for turning one's senses inside and resting in the true place where we all, our deepest self, our inner, deepest, most core self. So he's always talking about that, and he's always reminding us to don't take life so seriously out here, to be appreciative for this breath, for this time, this short time we have in these human bodies, and to appreciate life itself. And he not only talks about this, he's shown me and many, many other people the way to access this true self.
Indeed, I want to mention that we are recording this episode at Billy's home, and I arrived in a rush, and he took me to the outside patio and he showed me just nature around. So I was able to appreciate the beauty, and this really calmed me, and I can see this appreciative quality in you also. Maybe it's coming from your teacher. And which other event would you like to talk about?
Well, again, there are many, but I suppose a big event, which goes to the topic today, happened in August of 2006, when I was introduced to this system called Human Design. This was a big life-changing event for me. There are many what are called maps of human consciousness. There is astrology, there is the chakra system, there is the Enneagram, there are many of these maps of human consciousness, and this is what we're here today to talk about. And I was introduced to this system of human design, another map, in 2006, and this one really grabbed me, really affected me deeply. So this was a pivotal moment in my life over 16 years ago.
And what in human design really grabbed you?
Several things in human design really grabbed me. There's one book. Many people ask me, okay, Billy, do you recommend a book on human design? And there's one book called Human Design, and the subtitle is The Science of Differentiation. This subtitle really says so much, because we are all taught, we are all conditioned, we all have information coming to us, and a lot of this information that comes from parents and teachers and friends and societies and governments and religions is that we should be normal. And normal means many times being the same and not being the different people that we are. One of the things I recognized, you know, talking earlier about the pivotal change in life, is how different we all are. There is no one that will ever be on this planet Earth just like you or just like me. And all of the billions of people that are here and however many have lived, we are all different. All of us. No two people are the same. Human design is a system that talks about the differentiation, the differences between people. Sure, there are some similarities, but how are we uniquely different and how are we uniquely ourselves? Some things were described to me in that first session. It's called a reading in human design. A foundation reading in human design is the first step to this process, where someone comes to a person like me, a human design analyst, and gets a reading, an overview, an explanation of how you are designed to move, to operate, to take your actions. And we are all different, and how we are designed to operate within ourselves, and because we are social beings, how do we best relate to others? These are things which I really grabbed me in that first reading, and I had already left the technology industry a few years before. I had had enough of selling computers and computer software and working for corporations, and I was on my own, and I took a long break after 23 years in that industry and raising my family. And I was kind of looking for something to do. And I had my first reading in Hawaii. This was in 2006. And this system, I got this reading, I thought, wow, I would like to get education in this system and do what it takes to be able to consult with people and explain to them who they are. Because one of my big passions in life is service mm-hmm. to people.
Okay.
And how can I make a difference in people's lives? And this system and what someone can learn about how they are designed to move and operate and take their actions and make their decisions, which might be very different than their conditioning,
yes,
is really a service to people. And it's why I do what I do, and it's why I'm more passionate than ever about this 16 years after being introduced.
What was the difference between human design and other systems that you may have met before in your life that made you learn it?
It's a good question. So other systems that I learned in my life, different philosophical systems, astrology, different, I called it earlier, maps of human consciousness. This one is practical, very easy to understand, very easy to implement, to put into practice. And to me, this is what's different, and I'm speaking generally here, and I'm happy to go as deep as you want in the specifics, but this system is easy to implement, it's effective, and it produces immediate results.
As you mentioned before, that human design considers every person or every individual unique. I am curious about which other tools human design has to offer people in these times we live in.
So what human design has to offer, there are many different things. And my answer is not only for these times we live in, but for any times. Two of the most important things in human design are what we call strategy and decision-making. Mm-hmm. By strategy, what we mean is, and there are four different strategies, and if the listener has heard of human design before, you might have heard of the four types of people in human design. Mm-hmm. Each of these types of people has a certain strategy in life. And by strategy in this system, what we mean is how is a person designed to move, to operate, to take their actions. For example, my strategy comes from my type, which we call generator, and this represents about 70% of the population. My strategy is wait to respond. What do we mean by that? What we mean is I am designed to let life come to me, to take my actions in response to what comes to me from outside of myself. And this is very different from education that I've received or conditioning that I've received from many different people and institutions. Most of the time, at least here in the Western world, our conditioning tells us, don't wait for anything. Just dream up an idea in your head without paying any attention to anything outside yourself, and then go take action. Don't wait for anything, just go do. Well, that strategy is effective for about 10% of the population, according to human design. But for me and most of the population, we have a different strategy. And again, my strategy and the strategy of most people is wait to respond. Let life come to me and then take my action, if I choose to take my action, in response to what comes to me from outside of myself. Mm. Now, none of us are designed to take action on everything that comes or say yes to everything. So now we come to the second most important thing in human design. And this is what we call decision making. So something comes to me from outside of myself. How do I or you, the listener, decide whether to take action on or say yes to what comes? Well, There are four different strategies in life. There are seven possible decision-making modalities. And none of these ways of making decisions have anything to do with the mind. This is a huge difference. You asked me earlier what grabbed you. This was probably the single most thing in that initial reading I had. There were many things, but this is, if I had to pick one, this was it. Because this resonated with me. The mind is a great tool. It's a fabulous tool for creativity, for expression, for speaking different languages, for exploration, for so many things. But what is taught in human design, and which I completely resonate with, is decision-making comes best from within the body, not from the mind. There are seven possible ways we can be designed for the making of our decisions. Everybody has one primary decision-making modality. We refer to these as authority. What am I designed to give authority to? Inside myself, in my body, not my mind, for the making of my decisions. The two types of decision-making authority that most people are either emotional, or I'm going to use a human design term and then I'm going to explain it, emotional or sacral. In human design, if you can visualize a human design chart, it kind of sort of looks like a chakra diagram. And most people, mainly because of yoga, have heard of the chakra system, yeah? In the ancient Hindu chakra system are seven centers that go up and down the central spine. In this system of human design, we have evolved into being nine-centered beings. So if you can visualize what looks like a chakra diagram with nine centers instead of seven, one of these centers is the center of emotionality. One of these centers is the sacral center. Sacral, sacral, potato, potato, however you want to pronounce it, it's the same thing. The sacral center is in our gut. It's kind of where the stomach is if you look at a human design chart or body graph. If this center is defined, meaning if it has coloration, this determines the type of person. My sacral center is defined, therefore I'm this type we call generator. And all of us generators, then we take a look at the center to the right of it. This is called the center of emotionality. It's also known as the solar plexus. If this one has coloration or is defined, and when I say a center is defined, it's switched on. It's defined. We have access to the energetics of that center our whole lives. So the two centers that tell us the most information at the basic level of human design, the sacral center, this makes a person a generator, and the emotional center. If this one is defined, these people make their best emotions over time, based upon the clarity of the ever-changing up and down wave of emotions. And what these people are looking for is emotional clarity, which takes time. So emotionally defined people are not designed to make quick decisions. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, they need time to feel into their decision. And at the end, when they're going to make their decision, it's not what I think, it's what I feel, if I were one of these people.
Before diving into the strategies, the decision-making, the authorities and the centers, I'd love to talk about the context in which human design was channeled. Human design was channeled in Ibiza in the early 1987. Any insights about why was it channeled here on the island and why during those times?
Sure. So now we're going to discuss a little bit about the history of human design. Human design was created, was channeled, was downloaded by a Canadian man who had moved to this island of Ibiza in the early 1980s. And in early 1987, he got a download of information. So this is a channeled system. His name was Robert Krakauer when he moved here from Canada. And he received this download of information over, from what I understand, about a seven-day period in early 1987.
Do you know where specifically on the island this information was received?
Yes. One of his friends, and by the way, he changed his name after he created the system of human design to Ra Uru Hu.
Does that have a meaning?
We know him affectionately as Ra.
Okay.
Ra is a word that is used by the ancient Egyptians for the sun god.
Mm.
So when you hear about Ra or you hear his lectures or you go to his website, we refer to him as Ra.
Mm.
Ra passed away. He died 11 and a half years ago in March of 2011. I never met him. I first came to Ibiza about 6 months after that. I've heard hundreds of hours of his lectures, so I feel like I know him, but I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one of the lectures of his that I listened to talked about his receiving what he calls the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in an old ruina, Spanish word for ruined farmhouse. Where this farmhouse was, because even the ruined farmhouse doesn't exist anymore. Someone else bought the property and then got rid of whatever was left. So it's just land now. And if you're familiar with Ibiza, there is a petrol station, a gas station near the town of San Juan. And if you look across the street from the petrol station and you were to go up the hill a few hundred meters, this is where that ruina was. This is where he got his download of information, and this is where it all began.
How long did it take for this information to land? Because it's like a huge body of knowledge.
So there's really two questions there. How long did it take for the information to land? And then the other question is, how long did it take for him to create the system?
Yes.
Right? So from what I understood, if I'm remembering correctly, it was 7 or 8 days that he was in a trance-like state and received what he called on the recording that I saw. He received the keys to human design in that more or less 1 week period.
And then the other question would be, how long did Ra spend organizing that information he received in those 7 days?
So again, from what I understand, he spent the next 5 years creating the system.
Wow.
So here we are, it's 2022. 1992 was when he began teaching this system throughout the world, starting in Europe. So he spent 5 years taking these keys to human design, which came to him in a pretty short period of time, but then creating a system based upon these keys.
Which knowledge are these keys based on?
So the keys of human design are based upon four ancient systems. I'll just name them, and then you can ask me how deep you want to go with each of these systems as it relates to human design. They are astrology, which has been around for thousands of years, the chakra system, also all of these systems are thousands of years. So astrology, the chakra system, the Chinese system of the I Ching, and the ancient Hebrew system of the Kabbalah. These are the four systems which Ra synthesized and combined certain elements of each of these systems into this 30-year-old modern-day system we call the human design system.
So I would say that astrology, Kabbalah, I Ching, and
chakra system.
And the chakra system has certain commonalities that are...
No, they don't have commonalities with each other.
Okay.
But each of them... Well, there are some commonalities between astrology in its ancient form and astrology as it's used in human design.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, astrology in ancient form, at least Western astrology, of course, we have different signs of the zodiac. I'm born middle of May, I'm a Taurus. In human design, what's important and what's common is position of the planets. The sun, the moon, and all of the planets when we were born is very important. But in Western astrology, it's important that I am a Taurus and I have planets in different signs. In human design, we do not look at the signs of the zodiac, but we do look at planetary positions.
Okay.
And what we look at in human design is, so I mentioned this ancient Chinese system called the I Ching. The I Ching consists of 64 symbols or archetypes of human behavior. Where the planets were at a person's time, place, date of birth activated some of these 64 hexagrams, which appear on the body graph. I mentioned earlier the chart, the blueprint, the body graph. I use these terms interchangeably. There are 9 centers. In each of the centers are numbers. These numbers are in the same places in the centers for everybody. But what's different for everybody is, for example, for me, born on the 4th of May, hexagram number 2.
Yes.
2 of 64 is activated by where the sun was at my birth.
Okay.
And so forth with all of the planets. So in a human design chart, what's not important is the signs of the zodiac. What is important is which of these hexagrams were activated. In this body graph, we refer to these as gates. Which gates were opened? My gate number 2 is opened by the position of the sun when I was born.
What in human design is making people believe in the system?
To me, what's more relatable in human design is it's simple, it's direct, it's effective, right? I mean, I understand a lot about astrology. I'm not a professional astrologer, but I understand a lot. I've been into it for decades. But to have a good understanding of astrology, it's a pretty complex system. Because you need to know about the planets and the houses and the signs of the zodiac and how they relate to each other and the angular relationships of this to that. And all of a sudden, people just get lost because there's a lot of detail. And if you, now, in respect to astrology, if you have a good astrologer who explains these things very well in terms that the common person can understand, sure, you get a lot out of it. I still use astrology frequently. I'm not just into human design. But human design is a practical system that can be implemented in a person's life immediately. From the time I do a reading for a person, their initial reading, their foundation reading, which normally takes about an hour and a half, by the way, to go through it all. And we spend sometimes one third to one half of that going into what I talked about earlier. What is the person's strategy? How are they designed for their decision making? We spend a long time on that. And I give them many examples and analogies, and it's very easy for a person to implement this, to put it into practice in their lives. So I think, for me, this is why it's much more relatable, even though I love astrology and as many times refer people, you know, to go get an astrological reading also, you know, depending on their age and stage in life.
Yes.
From the perspective of strategy. How am I designed to move and operate and take my actions? And how am I designed to make my best decisions? This is simple. And this is easy to explain And again, it's something that someone can use every day in their lives.
Yes.
Because life is all about decisions.
Totally.
Everybody, we all have dozens or sometimes hundreds of decisions we make every single day. Knowing how we are designed to make our best decisions is practical. It's something that can be implemented quickly, easily, effectively.
So let's dive into human design. Which are its key components?
The first of the two most important key components in human design are what is a person's type, which determines their strategy. There's four of these.
Okay, let's get into the types first.
Sure.
So the people can get information about that.
I will say one thing. If a person knows what is their type,
yes.
If a listener right now knows what is your type, I'm happy to go into that. And maybe now or later, Oyana, we can tell people where they can go to get their own free chart.
I'm going to type that in the description of the episode. So everybody of you listening now, you can go to the description of the episode and click the link. And if you don't know your type, you can get it in the link there.
That's great, because again, this is a practical, effective system, so we want to give the listener a way to go check and see, okay, what is my type?
Also, we want to give them an experience.
Exactly. So, the four types. Most people, more or less 70% of the population, are the type that we call generator. I am a generator type. We are the workers. We are the doers. We are the ones who have plenty of energy to get things done here in life on planet Earth. And with 8 billion people, you know, I saw on the news last week, we just crossed this mark. There are now 8 billion living human beings on planet Earth. And with this many people, we need a lot of generators. We need a lot of workers, a lot of doers, a lot of us generators just to keep things going. The strategy of all of us generators is wait to respond. Let life come to me, or if you're a generator, let life come to you, and then take your actions based upon what comes to you from outside of yourself. So this is the generator, the worker, the doer, the responder. Are other terms that I like for this generator, has plenty of energy, and strategy, wait to respond.
Okay, next type. Can we talk about my type next, the projectors?
Absolutely. And statistically speaking, it's the next most populated type, and Oyana's type is what we call projector. Projectors are about 20% of the population, so about 1 in 5 people are projectors. And the projector type, this is our natural born leader or teacher or guide. Guide is the term I like the best for the projector. For you, Oyana, you and your 20% of the population, you are here with certain skills that you have, and each projector is different, but the commonality amongst the projectors are you are here to utilize your skills to guide the other, to help to lead the other. And personally, I like the term guide better. In the English language, the term projector sometimes can have negative connotations, but In all respect to Ra, who came up with these names, we still use this type projector. I personally prefer guide. So you are a natural guide.
Yes, I also use that term in my description, also in my website. It's like a wellness guide.
There we go. You're a wellness guide. So the general term for the projector, the guide, is someone who guides the other, shows the other, leads the other. The strategy of the projector, I'm going to state it and then I'm going to explain it a little bit. The strategy of the projector is wait to be invited. wait for the invitation. What is really going on here for the projector is, first, the projector is waiting to be recognized. You're waiting for people to recognize that you're different than most of the population. You're not one of the workers, the doers, the more common type like me, the generator. No. You are here with certain skills. You just said yourself, you are a wellness guide. You have skills in this area to be able to guide the other. So first you're recognizing, you're waiting for people to recognize that you are different, that you are a guide. And then upon that recognition, to invite you to guide themselves or the other. So this is the strategy of the projector when we say wait to be invited. And this is for the big things in life. Many people that I've met, including some here on this island, have an incorrect perception of what it means to be a projector and the strategy wait to be invited. This is not to wait that you have to wait for an invitation for everything in life. No, for the big things in life. Wait to be invited. And what are examples of big things? Some examples. Where do you live? What is your career? Who are you in romantic relationship with? Who are your friends? These are big things in life. These come to you best from other people who invite you or suggest to you or refer you to someone or something. Doesn't have to be a gold handwritten embossed invitation. It can be a suggestion. Hey, Oyana, why don't you go do blah, blah, blah?
Yes.
This is an invitation. So this is the strategy of the projector, waiting to be invited.
Next type.
Next type. And now I'm going to go out of order statistically because yes. I want to now talk about the least percentage type, which Ra called the reflector.
Yes.
And I have yet to come up with an additional name for that, so we go with what he gave it. The reflector, I'll do my best to verbally describe. I mentioned earlier that a human design chart looks like a chakra diagram with 9 energy centers, and some of them have color and some of them are white. The reflector chart is all white. There is no coloration in any of the centers. Mm-hmm. This is just slightly over 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. This is pretty rare. And when we have centers, you have some centers defined, I have some centers defined, 99% of the population has some centers defined. We have some fixity, we have some programming, we have some energetic things we can rely on within the energy quality of those centers in our body. The reflector has nothing consistent, nothing reliable, all white, all open, all conditionable, greatly conditionable from other people. So the reflector is constantly reflecting or mirroring back, soaking in the energy of people around them, and then mirroring or reflecting that energy.
So do they like increase the energy that they are, like for example, imagine a reflector is meeting someone that is angry. Are they gonna increase that anger? Or reflect that anger multiplied by two, imagine, to
you
that
mean
other
within
person.
Themselves or in the other person who's not the reflector?
I guess if they express it, so they are going to express it out, or they are going to feel that anger that is coming from the other person right. Multiplied. Yes.
Okay, so you're bringing up a good question. Any of us, Unless we have every single center defined, which is also pretty rare, again, there's 9 of them. When I say defined, I mean colored, I mean consistent, reliable information in each of the centers. So any of us, I know in your chart, you have a few centers that do not have color, that are undefined. So in the energetics of those centers, you will soak in the energy of other people.
Yes.
And that energy gets amplified in our bodies. I, in my human design chart, I have 5 centers defined. I have 4 centers undefined. In my undefined centers, yes, I soak in the energies of people around me, and those energies get stronger in my body. So the reflector type is soaking in energy in all 9 centers, and that energy amplifies, gets stronger within their own bodies. I hope that answers what you were asking, and including all of the other types.
Totally.
So the strategy of the reflector, it's an interesting one. And the strategy of the reflector is wait the cycle of the moon. Meaning, the cycle of the moon, for the moon to go through a full cycle from a new moon through a full moon and back to a new moon again is about 29 and a half days, yes, almost a month. This strategy for the reflector means wait almost a month before doing most anything, particularly big things in life. Why do we say this? Because remember earlier we were talking about that what's important in this system are the 64 hexagrams, the gates.
Yes.
Right? The moon is the fastest moving of the heavenly bodies. In one lunar cycle, in 29 and a half days, the moon will pass through all of these gates and activate these gates for a short period of time before going to the next one. This affects the charts of everybody. Just like in astrology, we have our birth chart, right? And it's the motion of the planets that can affect that birth chart. Same thing in human design.
Yes.
Our chart, our design, our body graph, this is our what we call natal chart. It's our birth chart, and it's fixed for our life, but one of the things that really affects it is motion of the planets. So back to the reflector. When I have a reflector client, I advise them, pay attention to the transiting planets and which of the gates, which are the numbers of active are activated in your chart, and many software apps out there today, you can easily track this, because during the cycle of the moon, the reflector, some things are going to get defined for short periods of time. It doesn't change their birth chart, but it might give them a clue into what steps to take, what actions to take. So it's recommended for them to wait 29 and a half days, the cycle of the moon, and pay attention to the moon, not only the moon, also to the other planets, which move more slowly during that time period. And this is how they might get some idea as to what actions to take.
Which is the percentage of the population that are reflectors?
About 1.2%. Wow. Slightly over 1%. Very small percentage of the population.
Any famous or known genius out there that were reflectors? That comes to your mind.
I remember from a list that was in one of my early books in human design, but I'm not remembering specific famous people right now. I know there were a couple of actors or actresses that were reflectors. I can't think of the name of one of them. Elizabeth Taylor's former husband. I mean, we're going back, you know, 50, 60, 70 years here. Who, apologies, I'm not remembering his name right now. He was a great actor, and there are many actors and actresses who have been reflectors because they easily take on different roles. There's nothing fixed inside of themselves. They can take on different identities, different roles, different ways of being. Sorry, I can't think of anybody to give you an example of at the moment.
In the readings you've made so far, did you run into any reflector?
I have.
And how is for them to wait this whole moon cycle before acting on something in this high, fast speed society we live in?
Sure, that's a good question. And I know quite a few reflectors. Well, quite a few. I've done readings, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 or 15 reflectors in the hundreds of readings that I've done over the years. And I know some other reflectors. One of my dear friends is a reflector. She's a woman who lives part-time on the island of Corfu, and she leads retreats for reflectors every September. Reflectors have an opportunity. Nisarg is her name. I'm sure she wouldn't mind my promoting her, Nisarg. You can Google and find her online. She's a reflector. She was one of the teachers that Ra authorized early, many, many years ago. And she's brilliant and leads retreats. And so she has a little bit different perspective on this waiting the cycle of the moon business because she's been practicing it for decades.
Okay.
As opposed to someone who might be new to human design, and if I do a reading for them, there's usually a little bit of shock. What do you mean I have to wait a month? And I do my best to describe to them why, but most of the time when they reflect on their lives during our readings and they say, yeah, you know, the longer I wait, the clearer I get on what actions to take. So it's something that I find has resonated with almost all of the reflectors that I've consulted with.
Okay, and the last type.
The last type. This is the type that Ra gave the name Manifestor. Manifestor type represents about 9% of the population, maybe slightly more, between 9 and 10%. And the Manifestor is a very different one. Because, now I'm going to give a quick review of the other three types to really have the listener understand the impact of what it means to be the Manifestor. There's a common theme between the other three types. Me, generator, wait to respond. You, Oyana, projector, wait to be invited. Reflector, wait the cycle of the moon. For the Manifestor, there is no waiting. These are the only types of individuals in the human design system that actually get inner guidance. Manifestors know from moment to moment to moment what they need or want to do. How this works, I don't know. I'm not a manifestor. I'm a generator. I understand intellectually the strategy of the manifestor and how they are designed to operate. And again, the manifestor gets inner guidance, they know what they want to do, and all they want is to be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, without any interference or restriction or prevention of that action from other people. Therefore, the strategy of the manifestor, I'll state it and then I'll explain it. The manifestor wants to be able to do what they want to do. They get this inspiration from inner guidance, moment to moment to moment. There's no waiting for something outside of themselves. So the strategy of the manifestor, very simply put, is to inform.
Okay.
So what does this mean? What this means is, think about this for a moment. The manifestor. If I am a manifestor, I just want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, without any restriction, interference from anybody else.
Deciding in the moment.
Right. I want to be able to take my action in the moment of what I want to do. So, it's interesting. I was listening to one of the lectures of Ra a long time ago. He was talking about the manifestor, and he was a manifestor. He was what we call an intuitive or splenic manifestor. He was a funny guy, from what I understand on his recordings. And he was talking about the manifestor, and he says, strategy of the manifestor, to inform. What is this? This is not a strategy. This is a courtesy. He said, and it's a courtesy which serves the manifestor because the manifestor, again, to be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, without interference from anybody else. What to inform means is, okay, if I'm a manifestor and I'm about to take an action, my best strategy is stop for just a moment and consider who is going to be affected by the action I am about to take. And if there's someone or some ones, people, who are affected by this action, simply tell them what I'm going to do before I do it. This lowers their resistance. It makes them feel like they're part of what I'm going to do. They're not really, because I'm not asking their permission. I'm just informing them what I'm about to do. And this is the strategy of the manifestor, to inform the other before taking action that they know they want to do, and that comes from inside themselves. So for the manifestor, again, no waiting.
So they feel involved in his or her project.
So the person who the manifestor informs before they take action might, their resistance is lowered because then they feel more involved in the project or whatever the action the manifestor is about to take, yes.
There is a lot of information. It can be overwhelming, and at the same time is so practical. So I invite any of the listeners that are feeling overwhelmed, yes, to leave this aside and then take some time, click the link for their chart, and slowly, slowly, step by step, dive deeper into the types, the strategies. And talking about authority, I heard Ra saying that he wanted to encourage every human to have their own inner authority, not dependent on any outside system or corporation. I feel it's really a good time to get as many tools as we have to implement our inner authority. So what would you like to share about that in relation with human design?
So about inner authority, which sometimes I call decision-making authority. In this human design system, there are seven possible inner authorities, ways we can be designed for the making of our decisions. And the biggest thing about this is none of these inner authorities is mental authority. All of these inner authorities come from within the body, whether it's, as we were describing a little early, emotional inner authority, which means wait until the clarity of the ever-changing, ever-present up-and-down wave of emotions before making our decisions, or whether it's my inner authority, which is sacral, which is also known as gut response. May sound simple, but it is my way I have learned to make my decisions through human design. If I get a question that can be answered yes or no, or given choice, my sacral center, my in-the-gut response is either going to go, uh-huh, that means yes, or uh-uh, that means no. That's my inner authority. That's about one-third of the population that makes authority from their first in-the-gut response. Then there are a few other more rare types of inner authorities. One is intuition, which is different than gut response. Intuition comes when it comes, and it comes once. And it might just be a hit which says, go there, don't go there. It might be we're in rainy season here on the island of Ibiza. We never know on a given day if it's going to rain or not. So we check our apps, right? And let's say I'm going out of the house in the morning and I check my weather app and it's nothing about rain, but there's an umbrella next to my front door. And as I pass by the umbrella, it's not a thought, it's not an emotion. My hand just reaches out and grabs the umbrella. This is intuition. So some people, around 9 or 10% of the population, are designed to make their decisions based upon their intuition. So these are some of the inner authorities, ways that we are designed in the human design system for the making of our decisions. Now, I say these are the way we are designed because many times, including me, before I learned human design, I was making a lot of decisions based upon my mind, mental decisions. But in this system, there's no such thing as mental authority. We were talking earlier about that. And in fact, in my experience, if we can alleviate the mind, take the decision-making away from the mind, it frees up the mind to be a lot more creative than if the mind thinks, oh, I'm going to have to make a decision here. No, let the decisions come from within the body. And we will make our best decisions possible in this life here, in these human bodies.
Any other information that you feel is key and that you want to mention for the listeners?
So, any other information that is key within human design, I'll just make a mention. Yes. Because if the listener has seen their chart or if they go get a free chart, they're going to see a few things. So let me mention what they're going to see, even though we're not going to go into complete explanation about these things right now. Of course, we talked about type, and we talked about inner authority, the two most important things. Then there are the different centers, as we talked about earlier. There are 9 of them, and I'll just tell you, what I'm telling you now is what I share in an hour and a half reading with someone. So in a typical reading, I will talk about strategy and authority. I will then go through the centers and go into detail about what it means to have a center defined or undefined. I will talk about a thing called definition, which the listener might see if you look at that, which is mostly either single definition or split definition, which refers to, are all of the centers connected together by an energetic channel? This would be single definition. Or are there 2 or more groupings of centers that are not connected by an energetic channel? This is called split definition. There's 4 types of definition. So again, just mentioning some of the components that we go into in a foundation reading in human design. Another thing that we would take a look at is what we call profile.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to explain a little bit about profile? Or
please.
Okay. When we look at a human design chart, there are the 64 main numbers, the hexagrams, the gates, which are activated by planetary positions. Then there is a decimal point, a punto, and to the right of that decimal point is another number, which is numbers 1 through 6. These are what we call the line numbers of the hexagram of the I Ching. Hexa is a Greek term which means 6. A hexagram is a symbol which consists of 6 lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In one's body graph, the position of the sun at birth and 3 months before birth, this is the, if you're looking at your chart, you would see the black side and the red side of all of these numbers. The black side number of the sun, I'll use mine as an example, is a number 2, and it's 0.2. On the other side, the red side, is another number and a decimal point and a number by the side of that. And that other number is a 13.4. So the 0.2 and the 0.4. These numbers comprise what we call profile. There are 12 of these profile numbers. There's a 1-3, there's a 2-4, there's a 6-2, there's a 6-3, there's a 5-1. They are all numbers 1 through 6, and they all have different meanings. And I like to use a metaphor here. What I like to describe to my clients is, and to you, the listener, is we are all actors and actresses here on the stage of life on planet Earth. The profile is how we show up on stage, how we deliver our lines, the mask we wear, the costume we wear, how other people experience us. This is largely to do with this thing called profile. So there's 12 of these things. Coincidentally, Oyana and I have the same profile. We are both what we call 2-4. So give a brief mention about this. I'm certainly not going to go through all 12, but the 2-4 is known as the hermit opportunist. The hermit. This is the person who needs their solitude, who needs their alone time on a daily basis. I need my alone time. People who know me know I'm a very social individual, and they'll see me out and about, at ecstatic dance or at this event or that event. Sure, I'm a social being, but I also, every single day, I need my alone time, whether it's the first 2 hours of the morning or whatever time of the day, because I need time to recharge, to be within myself, to be the hermit that I am through my profile. The 4 is the opportunist. The opportunist is the one who is drawn out by opportunity, right? I'm not just going to go to an event just to go to an event. I'm going to go, if it's a dance event, I hear there's a good DJ there, there's going to be good dance music, I'm going to go move my body. Yeah, that's an opportunity for me. So I'm drawn out by opportunity. This is a little bit about what is the 2-4, the hermit opportunist.
Do you know, really, that when I do the nutritional assessment for people, I also send them information about human design? Because I feel it's such a... I don't get, for sure, I get, like, their chart and just, like, a little bit about their profile, and I send them to them, and I'm not able to go into details. Still, that little information gives them a lot of practical tools for their life. Good. Talking about the sessions you make, I know you give sessions also to couples and to families. I love that. What is the difference that it makes for a couple to get a reading together in human design?
You know, when we start a romantic relationship, and maybe if we start to live with the other, whether we're living together or not, we're trying to understand who is this other person, right? And human design offers tools of understanding. Very simple example. If I, as a quick decision maker, I'm a sacral generator, means I'm designed to make my decisions quickly. If I'm in romantic relationship with someone who is an emotional generator or emotionally defined, I know that they best operate when I give them time and support them in taking time in making of their decisions, because they need to ride the wave, as we say. They need to feel their up and down, ever-present wave of emotions, because they're going to make their best decisions over time. To know this about someone, this is just one thing, and to know how a person is designed in their strategy, in their decision-making, and in many other things that come out in this body graph, unique to every individual, then I can treat the other as they are designed to operate. And this shortens the time of, because we may, in past relationships, I might have lived with someone for years and still not know who they really are, because maybe they didn't know themselves. Maybe they were subject to their conditioning. With human design, it shortens that process and allows me to relate to, or anyone to relate to, their couple, their partner, as they are designed to operate. The other thing that comes out with a couple chart when I do, we call this a connection chart, where we take the charts of each of the individuals, and it's like we overlay them one on top of the other. The computer software does all of this, of course. And then we can tell some very specific things about how these people are designed to relate to each other as a couple, or even as a business partner or a family member. We can see a lot of this through what we call a connection chart, the chart of the two people together.
soon you are traveling to Dubai and you're going to be a guest speaker at the men's gathering. After having read hundreds of men in the last years, which is the tool that benefits them most?
So yes, I'm going to a men's retreat, and it's a 5-day retreat, and it's in Dubai, and I will be the guest speaker there, and I'm giving a presentation about human design. So your question is, how can this benefit the men? Well, not just the men, but in this case, it's going to be a men's retreat. I will be giving a lecture, a talk about human design in general, and then the men can choose to come to me to sign up for individual sessions or not. They all have choice. And what it's going to do is what I've been describing for this time that we've been together, Oyana, which I'll be talking mainly about their strategy and their authority, how they can move and operate and make decisions better in life. One of the ways I like to describe, okay, what is the system of human design? Someone new comes to me and has heard about this and says, and why do I need this? Well, this is like the user manual that we were never given, or that our parents were never given. And this helps us to understand how we are designed to best exist in this life, in these human bodies on planet Earth. So this is what I'll be talking to them about. And I am looking forward to this. I've never been to Dubai, and I am looking forward to some deep connections with the men at this retreat, and to offer my expertise, my wisdom, my services to explain to them using this map of consciousness of human design.
To conclude the episode, I would like to come back to the origins. I would like to come back to the times that human design was channeled here. And is there any anecdote you know from the times that Ra was testing this system among his friends?
Okay, I heard two questions there, so I'm going to answer both of them. One question is the origins of human design and when Ra received this download. So without getting into detailed explanation, I have a degree in physics, which Oyana mentioned earlier at the beginning of this session, and I've studied astrophysics, and I'm still very interested in science and physics and astrophysics, and there is a thing out in space called a supernova. A supernova is an exploding star. When a star is massive enough, is big enough, at the end of its billions of years of life, it explodes and it becomes brighter than an entire galaxy of stars for a short period of time. Supernovae are pretty rare. They come, they are observed maybe once or maybe twice or so every 100 years. When Ra got his download of information in early 1987, there was a supernova detected. You can go online and look this up. It's called SN1987A. This is the scientific designation to this particular supernova. And when a supernova explodes, it's not just light that comes out of it. There are these little tiny particles called neutrinos. Neutrinos are subatomic particles that are here all of the time in all space. Trillions of these things are passing through the space where you're sitting right now every second. They're so tiny, most of them do not interact with matter, but some do. When Ra got his download of information in early 1987, it was around the time that supernova 1987A was observed, and you can see photographs of this thing on the internet if you look it up, and the neutrino flow, or as the scientists say, the neutrino flux, was super high, a lot higher than normal. So one of the theories is that this was I will call it the carrier wave of spirit that brought these keys of information to Ra in early 1987. In answer to the other question that I heard about any anecdotes about when Ra created the system, yes, I know that after Ra got his download of information, he spent the next 5 years creating the system. And I'll use some place names here on Ibiza for those of you who are here. I will not use personal names out of privacy respect to people. But Ra used to frequent a place in San Juan called Vista Alegre. It's a little cafe and restaurant in San Juan, and Ra used to hang out there. Well, I have a buddy, a friend of mine here on Ibiza. He's been living here since the late 60s, and he told me an anecdote, a story, about when Ra, sometime during this first 5 years after receiving his information, he came to my friend and a few other local people that he used to see in San Juan and other parts of the island and said, "Hey guys, I'm working on this new system. It's based upon one of the components is astrology, which means I would like to get your time, place, and date of birth, and I would like to do your chart." I don't even know if he had named it human design by then. Doesn't matter. He said, "I'd like to get this information and then tell you each about yourselves and have you poke holes in the system. Tell me what is wrong. Tell me what I got incorrectly." Well, my friend was one of these, I think he said it was 8 or 9 people who were part of this first group, this study that Ra did. My scientific mind calls it his alpha test or beta test group for his new system. And my friend said, "You know," he started to describe each of us, and he could not, none of us could find any holes. They said, "Yeah, this is very accurate." And this was the beginning of human design, when sometime after that, Ra introduced the system in a series of lectures, and human design started being taught around the world, and now it has reached millions of people, and I'm very happy that I was led to my first human design reading, and that I do what I do, and I'm very passionate about it, and most of all, because it serves people. It brings tools to people's lives that benefit their lives, and this, to me, is thrilling. I love what I do.
What a beautiful way to wrap up the episode with the neutrinos and with little anecdotes from our beloved island, from San Juan even. And thank you again, Billy. It has been a pleasure. I hope it's helpful for everybody listening out there.
Thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you again.
If you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple. And on both platforms, you can leave us up to a 5-star review. Also, if you'd like to connect with me, check the description of the episode to access my contact, and I would be extremely happy to hear your suggestions. A melody of our soul, where we truly belong. Our ancestors dance as our heart beckons its grace. Of love so real, love so real. If we let go of our mind, we'll truly find the presence divine that flows through you and I. Let our heart blossom like a flower to the sun. Of love so real. If we let go of our mind, we'll truly find our presence divine that flows through you and I.
There's a reason the piano has black and white keys. It's a beloved mystery. Duality tends to unity. A melody finding harmony. Love symphony. Surrender to its destiny. Breaking our time, this dimension is